me or not. This has been so good. It's good to see these young people going out and sharing, helping others, being a blessing. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you can turn to to Luke before we pray. Turn to Luke chapter 9. This message the Lord laid on my heart here a couple months ago, and He didn't tell me when I was going to get to share it. But the pastor asked me to share this morning, and this message now is what he wants me to share. It's not easy on the flesh. But you know, if we look back in time, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus, on a Friday, hung on a cross for you and me. When are you and I going to hang on the cross, put our flesh on the cross for Him? The day after we die and go to be with Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't do more? Or are we going to start doing it now and letting the glory of God shine through you? Hallelujah. Kenny said, God is dwelling inside of you. The God of the universe, and we haven't started preaching yet, so the God of the universe dwells inside of you and me. That very life that spoke everything into existence is living in you and me. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. And when you're speaking the words of Jesus, you're speaking words of life to somebody that will bring the same life to them that somebody spoke to you. How many of you are here today because somebody reached out to you? I don't think hardly any of us would be here if somebody hadn't reached out to us, and these people are reaching out to others. Praise God. And they need our support. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come before You in that wonderful name of Jesus. You, Lord, You are the teacher. You're the counselor. You're the one that we look to this morning, Father, to speak to us and through us. That Your will be done, Lord Jesus, that every heart here be touched today. Lord, that every heart that is watching by television, Father, that every one of them be touched by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and that it causes them to come alive in You, Lord Jesus, in a greater way than they have ever been before. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and in of the holy angels. That's as far as I want to share here this morning. I would like to just kind of point out a couple of things in this chapter that lead up to this point of what Jesus was saying. In verses 10 through 17, He was feeding the 5,000. And at the end of that, then Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, because Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? And some say one thing, some say another, but under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, immediately Jesus then goes in to talking about Him having to go to the cross and be crucified and give His life for the life of the world. And as soon as He's done with that, then He lets His disciples know that they also are going to have to take up the cross and follow Him. Now this morning we're going to learn what that cross is. It's not wooden. In case you hadn't noticed it, it's not a wooden cross that you hang and put yourself on every day, although we will show you that this morning. It's not what you pull and put on and walk around in every day. But the cross is your flesh. That's what you put up with every day. And everybody around you puts up with it every day. Verse 24 says, whoever desires to save his life, The word life here is suke. And that means it denotes a life in two chief respects. Breath of life, that's the natural life, and the seat of personality, the individual life. The same as in, it speaks in verse 25 of where it says himself. That is what it's talking about, the suke. Now, over in John chapter 10, if you want to read or turn there quickly, John 10 verse 11, we're just going to read one verse. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Same word, suke. Same life. He gave up his natural life that his spiritual life could bring forth for you and me. Now the word in Luke, if anyone desires to come after me, anyone desires or wills, it may be a different word in your translation, but it's all saying the same thing. It is talking about an active volition. You're doing something on purpose. You're following Jesus on purpose. You got saved on purpose because that's what you want to do. How many of you want to go to heaven? Well, almost the hands went up. Let me ask this question. You might want to raise it here. How many want to go to hell? I didn't get no hands on that one. Okay. Then you've got to do something about it. Jesus did everything He could do when He died on the cross for you. He paid the price. If you don't accept Him, by default, you will go to hell. Because that's your choice by not receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. He says in here, let each one deny himself. The word deny here means to deny oneself is to repudiate the gratification of those desires and values which are exclusively self-centered rather than God-centered. This is not to say that the believer cannot have any personal values or desires or goals which may exist legitimately. But it does mean that each desire should exist within the context of God's will for your life. It does not imply that personal needs not be met, but these will be viewed in the context of God being glorified. Can any of us here, and don't raise your hand on this one, okay? But can any of us here honestly say that everything we do all day, every day, always glorifies God? You notice I'm not raising my hand, in no way. So I've got some growing to do in that area, correct? Yes, amen. Self-denial is to take self out of the driver's seat. Now that's a new concept for some of us. Take self out of the driver's seat so that God might occupy that place. It is to deny self the right or mastery over one's life. Well, I'm my own boss. No, you're not. You say, well, if I haven't accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, I can do what I want, when I want, the way I want. Well, you can do that after you get saved if you want to. But doing what you want, the way you want, when you want, still will not stop you from going to hell. The only thing that will stop you from going there is accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. And you need to do that because you choose to. You want Him as the master of your life. Peter's denying Jesus illustrates that denial involves a decision to disassociate oneself from the person or object denying or being denied. Now, this is an important point. You have to learn, and I have to learn, to disassociate myself, which is my spirit man, with my flesh man. In God's Word, we're going to touch on it a little bit. God's Word tells you how to do that. But I want to plant that seed in your mind. You have to learn to disassociate yourself with your fleshly desires. Christ taught that the decision to deny self should be radical and decisive and be done on a daily basis. Turn to Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But what things were gained to me, Paul teaching and talking to the Philippians, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Notice he says, I have counted them loss. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, it's about you and Jesus. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. And the word law here is talking about you doing things your own way. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Then verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. He says that I may know Him. The word know there is the Greek word gnosko. It means to know things as they truly are, but to know them in your spirit. If you just know them in your head, it's not going to do you much good. You have to know them in your spirit and activate that out of your spirit. Paul says that I may know Him. Paul had realized, because he had put himself on the cross, he had to die daily. He found out that what Jesus was saying was that the outer man has to die so the inner man can come alive. If Jesus would have never died on the cross, there would have never been a resurrection, and we wouldn't have had an Easter Sunday that we plan on next Sunday. It's the greatest day of the year for us. It's our 4th of July. It's our being set free. Hallelujah. But if there's no death first, there's no resurrection. If you don't die to self, you'll never be anointed and have the power of God flowing through you like you need to have and you want to have. Hallelujah. You got to die to self first. Then you have resurrection life. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was my resurrection life. He is, but how much of your flesh is in the way for Him to get out of you? Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Teaching us. What are you being taught? What are you listening to? How many have been in a schoolroom, in a classroom, in church, wherever, somebody's teaching, but you ain't listening? Where's your mind been? Somewhere else, way out there. Somebody asks, well, what'd they say? I don't know. How much good is that teaching going to do you? None. No, you've got to bring it inside of you and make it a part of your life. Go over to Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, I have asked three people to help me this morning. Jerry, would you go get the cross and bring it over here? And I asked John Duclos and John Shear if they would help me. I want to illustrate what Pastor did, only to a little more extent this time, of spirit, soul, and body. And so, John, I want you to stand right here. And then John, stand, John Duclos, John Shear right behind him. And just leave that there for right now, Jerry. And you stand behind him. Jerry represents the flesh. I warned him yesterday that I was going to use him. John Shear represents the soul. He's the one that does the direction. And John Duclos represents the spirit. I picked him a little bit bigger on purpose because that's what we want to rule our life with, is our spirit. As you can see at this point yet, the flesh can move around. I want you to move around, push John out of the way, and you stand where he's at. The flesh is saying, It'd be nice if you could leave, wouldn't it, John? The flesh is saying, I need to have some time for myself. It's okay to relax and kick back. You never used to pray, and you were okay. Besides, it's boring, and I don't get anything out of it. And besides that, I don't even understand what you're saying. Now, this is going on between the flesh and the spirit, but it's going through the soul. And the soul's letting it happen. The soul's letting it happen. How many of you can say your soul has no part of it? Because that's where all the decisions are made. You know, you think your spirit's the one that makes the decision whether you go to heaven or not? No. It's your soul. He says, I don't even understand what you're saying. You should let me have my way at least half of the time. Let's be equal about this. So, you know, the flesh does not want to die. How many noticed that? All right, spirit. The soul has made a decision. He wants you in front. So kick the flesh out of the way. Now the spirit says, the spirit says, I want to spend some time in prayer. I need the life that is in God's Word. I want to spend time reading it. I want to be in every church service because I know God has something for me in each service. And every once in a while, when the flesh is doing what it wants, the spirit speaks and says, you don't need to be watching that. You don't need to be doing that. How many have had this battle going on in your mind? Absolutely. Okay. Now, I want the spirit and the soul to go get that cross, put it behind Jerry, and you guys tie his arms up to that. He was supposed to bring me three ropes because I was going to tie his feet too. But he only brought two, so.
Put your arms up there.
No, soul, let the spirit do the tying. You just hold the cross.
Okay.
See, let's get the idea that the spirit now has been reading the word, praying. He's strong enough to tie the flesh to the cross. No, half nod's fine. Okay, spirit and soul, come back, stand in front here. Now, what's your flesh going to do when your spirit wants to pray? Can the flesh do anything about it? When he wants to come up here and do what he wants, he's tied. See, his feet's supposed to be tied too. But it says here, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Because Jesus, in his mind, when he died for you and me, he put our flesh on the cross with him. But the decision is ours. He said, deny yourself daily and follow me. Go with me to, you guys are going to have to stand there a couple of minutes yet. Chapter 8 of Romans, verses 12 through 14. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Where is your debt to? It's through your spirit to God. He says, we are not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Now, there's something in most of your Bibles that's probably a capital S. It should not be. He's talking about your born-again spirit. The spirit of you, the life that's in you, is the one that's going to put to death the spiritual man. That's why I had him tie the hands up there. Now, got to remember, John Shear standing here, he's the soul. It don't look like he's doing anything. All decisions are made right in the middle, right there. He's the one that allows the spirit to do what needs to be done to the flesh, or he allows the flesh to run the spirit. All the decisions are made in here. He says, you put to death. You put your flesh down on a daily basis. You allow your spirit. If you, by the spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, which the Holy Spirit lives inside of your Spirit, and through that you have the knowledge and the power and the anointing and the glory of God that has the power to do to the flesh and help the soul make the decisions. God wants your spirit so filled with His Spirit that your soul is just flowing with that all the time. And he said, those who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. But if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, God don't want you in the spirit fleshly bondage. He wants you in spiritual life. Your spirit is not bound if it's free in God. But if your soul or your flesh is in control, then you are having a problem. Galatians 5. And then I've got to go through this one, you guys. Then I'll let you sit down. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If this flesh over here is tied to the cross, it can't walk anywhere. But your spirit is free to walk and do what it needs to do because your soul is going along with it. Isn't it interesting that the flesh back here can still talk? And he's talking to his soul. And he's trying to talk him into untying him and letting him do what he wants to do. Your flesh never quits. It don't give up. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in your spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the word flesh here, you could also put the five senses. Because that's what's trained your flesh is the five senses. Through the soul, it's been trained that way. Then he says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, see, the flesh here, he's got his arm tied. He can't reach around and push the spirit out of the way anymore, can he? He's tied up. He's on the cross. See? The spirit's in front. The spirit stays in front. They fight. How many of you had this happen in your brain daily? Yeah, I think so. The flesh lusts against the spirit. And again, it's not the Holy Ghost. This is your spirit that's fighting. It's your spirit and your flesh that the battle goes on. Now see, before you got saved, the Spirit didn't know any better either, and He just followed whatever the other two wanted. But now He's got some life in Him. Hallelujah. He's got the Holy Ghost inside of Him. And He's got something that's strong enough to tie that flesh up. You got time tight though, don't you? The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The mind of the natural man wishes to do certain things, and the mind of the Spirit wishes to do other things, and so he wants to stop you from doing what you would rather do in the natural man. For those of you who think we're messing with the Word of God on saying that should be a small s, you need to understand something. When they translated the Bible out of Greek into our language, it was up to the choice of the translator whether they put a capital S or a small s. In the Greek, there is no capital or small. It's all small. Everything's small case. And so, if you think we're taking something out of context, get the whole context of what is being said here, and you'll realize that the Holy Ghost is not going to come down here and work on the flesh, because He said He can only work through your spirit. He can't do anything to your flesh. You do it. Verse 24, and I'll let you guys sit down. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Wonder why he put that past tense. Got any idea? Because in God's mind it's done. Now you and I must work it out. Same principle. When he gave the children of Israel, he gave them the promised land. He gave that to them, but they had to go in and win the war. And brother and sister, you have got a war going on in your head right now, because your spirit wants to follow God and do everything He wants to do, and your flesh says, when I feel like it, you will. I'm not going to let the spirit or untie him. You soul, you untie him here and let him free. He says, I don't want to. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate that very much. Is that help you understand what's going on in your head? See, Jesus willingly went to that cross and let them nail him to the cross. And it wasn't tied on there. They took him and they scourged him. That was the first thing they always did before they crucified him. That means they took a cat of nine tails, which had glass in it, and they beat him with stripes. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was almost unrecognizable because they had beat him so much. And he only did it for one reason, because he had no sin of his own. He did it for you and me. And if he did that, why can't we deny this flesh just a little bit? I'm going over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 10. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. And I'm quite sure, at least, there shouldn't be anybody in this church that could ever be accused of those first things in that verse 5 there. But how about verse 8? Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Anybody in here that has any problem with anger? Well, let me ask you this then. No, you know, most of you wouldn't tell the truth there. See if you will on this one. How many of you don't have any problem with anger? So all we got to work on it, don't we? Flesh, your anger doesn't come out of your spirit. You have the nature of God. When you got born again, He put His nature down inside you, which has love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. That's the nature of your spirit. And anger that gets the flesh doing and saying things it shouldn't does not come out of your spirit. It comes out of your flesh. How many got your mouth slapped when you was a kid? How many of you as adults, we need to slap our own mouth? Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed, renovated in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. This is what makes your spirit so powerful, is the fact that He has the Word of God and He knows how to use it. He has knowledge. Knowledge is power. If you don't think so, go ask Bill Gates. He has power because of the knowledge he has and what he's been able to do with that knowledge. But I want the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the power of God. I want the power that brings so that I can use that through my spirit man and reach people and save lives and help people with it. That's what I want. If you're born again, you have that life in you. What are you doing with it? 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And the word soul here is talking about your spirit and your soul. They war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Is anybody observing you? Yeah, you're being observed. He tells you so right here. Somebody's watching your actions. Well, yeah, but they only hear and see me the way I want them to hear and see me. That don't work, does it? Trouble is, they see you the way you really are. You're the one that don't see you the way you really are. Now, if you got some good friends that love you and you let them, they will let you know what you're really like. You better count them as friends. You treat them right and they treat you right, it'll help you tremendously. Because we don't see ourselves accurately. Our mind can deceive us. We think we're actually performing the way we think we're thinking in our mind. And you go ask a good friend, is that what I'm really like? Well, watch yourself. You know, get somebody to follow you around with a camera all day. But you don't know that there's anybody following you around with a camera. You know, they got to do it incognito. You don't see or hear anything. And then watch yourself. Well, the Holy Ghost don't see everything you do, does He? You can get by with things, can't you? I don't think so, do you? Praise God. Well, He says you put these things off. You mean the Holy Ghost is not going to come down here and take this anger and these problems and these attitudes out of me? You wish. That is true. You wish He would. But see, He doesn't do that. You do it through your spirit, the soul and the spirit working together, making the decisions to keep that flesh on that cross. He said daily. Maybe this would work. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't. Take that two before cross home, and every day for the next week, put your flesh on it every morning. See how much trouble it can get you into. It ain't going to do much, is it? But that's what Paul said by the Holy Ghost. You put it on daily. You put it on daily. What happens if you don't read your Word, read the Word of God and pray daily? See, as I spoke about the Spirit there this morning, when I was talking for John, His Spirit is hungry for the Word of God. It wants to have that fellowship. It wants to have that anointing. It wants to have that peace and that joy that comes through that. But your flesh also wants its way. It certainly does. Well, where do we quit? When we run out of time, don't we? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to read one more scripture, Galatians 6:14. Let Kenny cut this thing up. He's a good man. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to boast, boast in the cross. Boast in what He did through you and for you and in you, not what you have done. Boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified. Notice that's always a past tense. Has been crucified. Has been crucified. In God's mind, you have been crucified with Him. Now let's live for Him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we have run out of time. We will... Someday maybe I can teach that when I got 3 hours. Then we could... I gave you an awful lot of information this morning. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed it? Well, praise the Lord. You don't get sore till the next day. You know, when you exercise, do something you're not used to, you get sore the next day. Well, I guarantee you one thing, the Word of God will still be with you tomorrow, and He'll still be talking, teaching you and talking to you about putting Him first, about putting your flesh on the cross. Hallelujah. Let's stand.